Okay, my friends, Christmas is nearly here. We are on our way.
It's only one more sleep till Christmas.
And I cannot say no to a story that's illustrated by Barbara Cooney. So we grabbed it. Today's story is The Story of Holly and Ivy by Rumor Gordon and Barbara Cooney.
But before we get into today's story, because it is Christmas Eve, there's a lot going on, right? In fact, it's a birthday for some people. Did you know that? So today, we want to give our patron shout out to our friend, Alana, who is turning 8 years old. And Alana, we hope that you enjoy today's story and have a very magical Christmas on top of having a very magical birthday.
And so, my friends, get ready. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with what Holly and Ivy are. Do you know what they are?
Two plants?
Yes, very good. So Holly berries are those bright red berries with like a prickly sort of leaf.
If it was Holly and mistletoe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't you know what mistletoe is?
Yeah, people hang that out and around their house too. And ivy is, of course, a windy kind of vine, right? With big flat leaves that grow.
Yeah, and ivy is poisonous, poison ivy.
Well, yeah, poison ivy is a thing. But this particular ivy that you would put out at Christmas time is not. Are you going to come sit on my lap? Okay, come and sit on my lap. Good. This is a story about wishing. It is also about a doll and a little girl, and it begins with the doll. Her name, of course, was Holly. It could not have been anything else, for she was dressed in Christmas in a red dress and red shoes, though her petticoats and socks were green. She was 12 inches high, and she had real gold hair and brown glass eyes that could open and shut, and teeth like tiny china pearls. It was the morning of Christmas Eve, the last day before Christmas. The toys in Mr. Blossom's toy shop in the little country town stirred and shook themselves after the long night. "We must be sold today," they said.
"Today?"
asked Holly. She had been unpacked only the day before and was the newest toy in the shop. Outside in the street it was snowing, but the toy shop was lit and warm, and it had been lit all night. The tops showed their glinting colors, the balls their pens of red and yellow and blue. The trains were ready to run around and around. The sailing boats shook out their fresh white sails. The clockwork toys had each its private key. The tea sets gleamed in their boxes. There were drums and airplanes and trumpets and doll perambulators. Do you know what a perambulator is?
No.
It is what you would put your baby doll in to push it around town.
Oh, like,
it's a stroller.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Ew. Mm-hmm.
The rocking horses looked as if they were prancing, and the teddy bears held up their furry arms. There was every kind of stuffed animal, rabbits and lions and tigers and dogs and cats and even chimpanzees. The dolls were in a long glass shelf decorated with tinsel. Baby dolls and bride dolls with bridesmaids in every color. A boy doll in a kilt and another who was a sailor. And one little girl, one girl doll, was holding her gloves, another an umbrella. They were all beautiful, but none had been sold.
"We must be sold today," said the dolls.
"Today," said Holly. Now, like the teddy bears, the dolls held out their arms. Toys, of course, think the opposite way to you.
"We shall have a little boy or girl for Christmas," said the toys.
"Will I?"
asked Holly.
"We shall have homes."
"Will I?"
asked Holly. Now, the toys knew what homes were like from the broken dolls who had come into the shop to be mended.
"There are warm fires and lights," said the dolls, "and rooms filled with lovely things. We feel children's hands."
"Bah!
children's hands are rough," said the big toy owl, who sat on a pretend branch below the dolls. "They're rough, and they can squeeze."
"I want to be squeezed," said a little elephant.
We've never felt a child's hands,"
said two baby hippopotamuses, and they were made of gray velvet with their pink velvet mouths were open as wide as the rest of them, and their names were Malo and Wallow.
"We've never felt a child's hand."
Neither, of course, had Holly. The owl's name was Abracadabra, and he was so big and important that he thought the toy shop belonged to him.
"I thought it belonged to Mr. Blossom," said Holly.
"Pooh-hoo,"
said Abracadabra, which was his way of being cross. "Does a little doll dare to speak?"
Be careful,
the dolls warned Holly. Abracadabra had widespread wings marked with yellow and brown and a big hooked beak and white felt feet like claws.
I hope someone buys him before he gets even worse.
You think so? Above his eyes were two fierce black tufts, and the eyes themselves were so big and green that they made green shadows around his round white cheeks. His eyes saw everything, even at night. Even the biggest toys were afraid of Abracadabra. Malo and Wallow shook their round, stubby feet each time he spoke.
"He might think we're mice," said Malo and Wallow.
"My mice," said Abracadabra.
"Mr. Blossom's mice," said Holly.
Now, Holly's place on the glass shelf was quite close to Abracadabra. He gave her a look with his green eyes.
"This is the last day for shopping," he said. "Tomorrow, the shop will be shut."
A shiver went down all the dolls, but Holly knew Abracadabra was talking to her.
"But the mothers and fathers will come today," said the little elephant.
He was called Crumple because his skin did not fit, but hung in comfortable folds around his neck and his knees, and yet had a scarlet flannel saddle hung with bells, and his trunk and his mouth and his tail all turned up, which gave him a cheerful expression. It was easy for Crumple to be cheerful, so on his saddle was a ticket marked "Sold." He had only to be made into a parcel.
"Will I be a parcel?"
asked Holly.
"I'm sure you will," said Crumple,
and he waved his trunk at her and told the dolls,
"You will be put into Christmas stockings."
"Oh,"
said the dolls longingly.
"Or hung on Christmas trees."
"Oh,"
said the dolls.
"But you won't all be sold,"
said Abracadabra, and Holly knew he was talking to her. The sound of a key in the lock was heard. It was Mr. Blossom come to open the shop. Peter, the shop boy, was close behind him.
"We shall be busy today,"
said Mr. Blossom.
"Yes, sir,"
said Peter. There could be no more talking, but
"we can wish, we must wish,"
whispered the dolls. And Holly whispered,
"I am wishing."
"Hoo-hoo,"
went Abracadabra. It did not matter if Peter or Mr. Blossom heard him. It was his toy owl sound.
"Hoo-hoo."
They did not know, but the toys all knew that it was Abracadabra's way of laughing. The toys thought that all children will have homes, but all children have not. Far away in the city was a big house called St. Agnes's, where 30 boys and girls had to live together. But now, for 3 days, they were saying goodbye to St. Agnes's. "A kind lady or gentleman has asked for you for Christmas," Miss Shepherd, who took them all, had told them, and one by one the children were called for or taken to the train. But soon there would be no one left in the big house but Miss Shepherd and Ivy. Ivy was a little girl, 6 years old, with straight hair cut in a fringe, blue-gray eyes and a turned-up nose. She had a green coat of the color of her name. And what was her name?
Ivy Green.
Mm-hmm, that's very good. And red gloves, but no lady or gentleman had asked for her for Christmas.
I don't care,
said Ivy. Sometimes in Ivy there was an empty feeling, and the emptiness ached. It ached so much that she had to say something quickly in case she cried, and
I don't care at all,
said Ivy.
You will care,
said the last boy, Barnabas, who was waiting for a taxi.
Cook is gone, and the maids have gone, and Miss Shepherd is going to her sister. You will care,
said Barnabas.
I won't,
said Ivy. And she said more quickly,
I'm going to my grandmother.
You haven't got a grandmother,
said Barnabas.
We don't have them.
And that was true, because the boys and the girls at St. Agnes's had no fathers or mothers, let alone grandmothers.
But I have,
said Ivy,
at Appleton.
I do not know how that name came into Ivy's head. Perhaps she heard it somewhere. She said it again.
In Appleton.
Bet you haven't,
said Barnabas. And he went on saying that until his taxi came. When Barnabas had gone, Miss Shepherd said, Ivy, I shall send you to the country, to our infant's home.
Infants are babies,
said Ivy.
I'm not a baby.
But Miss Shepherd only said, There is nowhere else for you to go.
I'll go to my grandmother,
said Ivy. You haven't got a grandmother, said Miss Shepherd. I'm sorry to send you to the infant's home, but there won't be much for you to see there or anyone to talk to, but I don't know what else to do with you. My sister has influenza, and I have to go and nurse her.
I'll help you,
said Ivy. You might catch it, said Miss Shepherd. That wouldn't do. And she took Ivy to the station and put her on a train. She put Ivy's suitcase in the rack and gave her a packet of sandwiches, an apple, a ticket, 2 shillings, and a parcel that was her Christmas present. Onto Ivy's coat, she pinned a label with the address for the infant's home. Be a good girl, said Miss Shepherd. people used to send children by train to their families or to other places, and they would just stick the address that they wanted the child to go to on their coat. And the child was not to remove it or break it or damage it in any way. When Miss Shepherd had gone, Ivy tore the label off and threw it out the window.
I'm going to my grandmother,
said Ivy. Now you see why that doesn't work. All day long, people came in and out of the toy shop. Mr. Blossom and Peter were so busy that they could hardly snatch a cup of tea. Crumple was made into a parcel, and that means he was put into a box and wrapped up and sent away. That's what we call a parcel. It's basically like saying a box, okay? Teddy bears and sailing ships were brought out of the window. Dolls were lifted down from the shelf. The boy doll in the kilt and the doll with gloves were sold, and the baby dolls and the brides. Holly held out her arms and smiled her china smile. Each time a little girl came to the window and looked, pressing her face against the glass, Holly asked, Are you my Christmas girl? Each time the shop door opened, she was sure it was for her.
I'm here. I'm Holly.
And she wished,
Ask for me. Lift me down. Ask.
But nobody asked. Ivy was still in the train. She'd eaten her sandwiches almost at once and opened her present. She had hoped and believed she would have a doll this Christmas, but the present was a pencil box. A doll would have filled up the emptiness, and now it ached so much that Ivy had to press her lips together tightly. And,
My grandmother will give me a doll,
she said out loud.
he actually has a grandma?
Let's find out. Will she, dear? Asked a lady sitting opposite, and the people in the carriage all looked at Ivy and smiled. And where does your grandmother live?
In Appleton,
said Ivy. The lady nodded. Oh, that'll be 2 or 3 stations, she said. Then there is an Appleton, thought Ivy. The lady got out and more people got in and the train went on. Ivy grew sleepy watching the snowflakes fly past the window. The train seemed to be going very fast. She leaned her head against the carriage cushions and shut her eyes. When she opened them, the train had stopped at a small station, and the people in her carriage were getting out. The gentleman lifted her suitcase down from the rack. Said the notice boards. Well, Ivy could not read very well, but she knew that the A was for Appleton. Forgetting all about her suitcase and the pencil box, she jumped down from the train, slammed the carriage door behind her, and followed the crowd of people as they went through the station gate. The ticket collector had so many tickets that he did not look at hers. And in a moment, Ivy was out on the street, and the train chuffed out of the station.
I don't care, said Ivy. This is where my grandmother lives.
The country town looked pleasant and clean after the city. There were cobbled streets going up and down and houses with gables overhanging the pavements and roofs jumbled together. Some of the houses had windows with many small panes. Some had doors with brass knockers. The paint was bright and the curtains clean.
I like where my grandmother lives,
said Ivy. Presently, she came to the market square, where the Christmas market was going on. There were stalls of turkeys and geese and fruit stalls with oranges and apples and nuts and tangerines that were like small oranges wrapped in silver paper. Some stalls had holly and mistletoe and Christmas trees. Some had flowers, and there were stalls of china and glass and one with wooden spoons and bowls. A woman was selling balloons, and an old man was cooking hot chestnuts. Men were shouting, and women had shopping bags and baskets, and the children were running, and everyone was buying and selling and laughing. Ivy had spent her whole life in St. Agnes's. She had not seen a market before. And
I won't look for my grandmother yet, said Ivy.
In the toy shop, Mr. Blossom had never made so much money. Peter had never worked so hard. Peter was 15. He had red cheeks and a smile as wide as Mallow's and Wallow's. He took good care of the toys and did everything he could to help Mr. Blossom. Whoosh went the brown paper as Peter pulled it off of the roll. Whoosh went the string balls. Snip, snap. The scissors cut off the string. He did up dozens of parcels, ran up and down the stepladder, fetched and carried and took away. That abominable boy will sell every toy in the shop, grumbled Abracadabra.
What's abominable?
Asked Holly.
It means not good, said the dolls. But he is good. Dear, dear Peter, whispered the dolls,
but Abracadabra's green eyes had caught the light from a passing car.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Abracadabra want the toy shop closed and all of the toys stuck in the shop?
I do not know. Let's read. Peter fell down the stepladder from the top to the bottom, and he bumped his elbow and grazed his knee and tore a big hole in his pocket.
Hold on, go slow, said Mr. Blossom.
Yes, sir, said poor Peter in a very little voice.
Did you see that? Did you see that? Whispered the dolls. Holly wished she were further away from Abracadabra. Soon, all the baby dolls but one were sold, and most of the teddy bears. Mallow and Wallow were taken from twin boys' stockings. They were done up in 2 parcels and carried away. Hardly a ball was left and not a single airplane. The sailor doll was sold and the doll with the umbrella.
But still no one had asked for holly. Dolls are not like us. We are alive as soon as we are born, but dolls are not really alive until they are played with.
I want to be played with, said Holly. I want someone to move my arms and legs, to make me open and shut my eyes. I wish,
said Holly. It began to be dark. The dusk made the lightened windows shine so brightly that everyone stopped to look in. The children pressed their faces so closely to the glass that the tips of their noses looked like little white cherries. Holly held out her arms and smiled her china smile, but the children walked away.
Stop! Stop!
Wished Holly, but they did not stop. Abracadabra's eyes shone in the dusk. Holly began to feel very much afraid, but one person stopped. It was not a boy or a girl. It was Mrs. Jones, the policeman's wife. From down the street. She was passing the toy shop on her way home when Holly's red dress caught her eyes.
Pretty, said Mrs. Jones and stopped.
You and I would have felt Holly's wish at once, but Mrs. Jones had no children, and it was so long since she had known a doll that she did not understand. Only a feeling stirred in her that she had not had in a long time, a feeling of Christmas. And when she got home, she told Mr. Jones,
this year, we shall have a tree.
Don't be daft, said Mr. Jones.
But when Mrs. Jones had put her shopping away, a chicken and a small plum pudding for her and Mr. Jones's Christmas dinner, a piece of fish for the cat, and a dozen fine handkerchiefs, which were Mr. Jones's presents, she went back to the market and bought some holly, mistletoe, and a Christmas tree.
I should have tinsel, said Mrs. Jones, and so she bought some tinsel. And candles, she said. Candles are prettier than electric lights.
She bought 12 red candles.
They need candle clips, she said,
and she bought 12 of those. And a tree should have some balls, thought Mrs. Jones.
Glass balls in jeweled colors, ruby red, emerald green, and gold.
And so she bought some balls, and a box of tiny silver crackers, and a tinsel star. And when she got home, she stood the tree in the window and dressed it, putting the star on the top.
Who is that to look at? Who's to look at it?
Asked Mr. Jones. Mrs. Jones thought a moment and said, Christmas needs children, Albert. Albert was Mr. Jones's name.
I wonder,
said Mrs. Jones, couldn't we find a little girl?
What's the matter with you today, my dear?
Said Mr. Jones.
How could we find a little girl? You're daft.
And it was a little sadly that Mrs. Jones put holly on the chimney shelf, hung mistletoe in the hall, and tied a bunch of holly on the door knocker, and then went back to her housework. Ivy was happy in the market. She walked around and around the stalls looking at all the things. Sometimes a snowflake fell on her head, but she shook it off. Sometimes one stuck to her cheek, but she put out her tongue and licked it away. She bought a bag of chestnuts from the chestnut man, and they were hot in her hands, and she ate them one by one. She had a white cup of tea from the tea stall on wheels, and from a sweet stall, she bought a toffee apple. And then her legs grew tired as she sat down on a step and wrapped the ends of her coats around her knees. When she was cold, she started to walk again. Soon, lights were lit along the stalls. They looked like stars. The crowd grew thicker. People laughed and stamped in the snow to keep their feet warm. Ivy stamped, too. The stall keepers shouted and called for people to come and buy. Ivy bought a blue balloon. At St. Agnes's, a telegraph boy rang the bell. He had a telegram from his shepherd, from the infant's home. It said, Ivy not arrived. Suppose she is with you. Merry Christmas. The boy rang and rang, but there was no one at St. Agnes's to answer the bell. And at last he put the notice in the letterbox, got on his bicycle, and rode away. Now, in her house down the street, Mrs. Jones kept looking at her Christmas tree. Oughtn't there to be presents? She asked. It was so long since she'd had a tree of her own that she couldn't be sure. She took Mr. Jones's handkerchiefs, wrapped them in white paper, and tied them with some red ribbons that she had by her, and put the parcel on the foot of the tree. And that looked better, but still not quite right. "There ought to be toys," said Mrs. Jones, and she called to Mr. Jones, "Albert!" Mr. Jones looked up from his newspaper that he was reading. "Wouldn't it be very silly, Albert?" asked Mrs. Jones.
"Would what be silly?"
"Would it be silly to buy a little doll?"
"What is the matter with you today?"
asked Mr. Jones. And he said again,
"You're daft."
Do you know what that means? Mm-mm. Daft means crazy. You're not in your right mind. You're acting a little bit weird. Soon it was time for him to go to duty. "I shall be out all night," he told Mrs. Jones.
"Two of the men are away sick. I shall take a short sleep at the police station and then go on duty again. I'll see you in the morning," said Mr. Jones.
And he kissed Mrs. Jones goodbye and went out. But he put his head round the door again.
"Have a good breakfast waiting for me," said Mr. Jones.
In the toy shop, it was closing time.
"What does that mean?" asked Holly.
"That it's over," said Abracadabra.
"Over?"
Holly did not understand. Mr. Blossom pulled the blind down on the door and put up the notice. "Closed."
"Closed,"
said Abracadabra. Mr. Blossom was so tired he told Peter to tidy the shop.
"And you can lock up. Can I trust you?"
said Mr. Blossom.
"Yes, sir,"
said Peter.
"Be careful of the key,"
said Mr. Blossom.
"Yes, sir,"
said Peter proudly. It was the first time Mr. Blossom had trusted him with the key.
"You have been a good boy,"
said Mr. Blossom as he was going.
"You may choose any toy you like, except the expensive ones like the air guns or the electric trains. Yes, choose a toy," said Mr. Blossom. "Good night."
When Mr. Blossom had gone,
"A toy,"
said Peter, and he asked, "What does he think I am, a bloomin' kid?" Peter swept up the bits of paper and string and straw and put them in the rubbish bin at the back of the shop. He was so tired he forgot to put the lid on the bin. Then he dusted the counter, but he was too tired to do any more. So he put on his overcoat to go home. He turned out the lights, but it was no use lighting the window now that the shopping was over. Stepping outside, he closed and locked the door. If he had waited a moment, he would have heard a stirring, a noise, tiny whimpering.
"What about us? What about us?"
It was the toys.
"Go home and good riddance,"
said Abracadabra to Peter, but the toys cried,
"Don't go."
Peter heard nothing. He put the key in his jacket pocket to keep it safe and turned to run home. The key fell straight through the torn pocket into the snow. It did not make a sound.
"Hoo-hoo,"
said Abracadabra, and the snowflakes began to cover the key as Peter ran off. The market was over as well. The crowd had gone, the stalls were packing up, the last Christmas trees were being sold. Ivy had spent all her money. The blue balloon had burst. Her legs ached with tiredness, and she shivered. Then the lights went out, and there were only pools of yellow from the lampposts with patches of darkness in between. A bit of paper blew against Ivy's legs, making her jump. Suddenly, the marketplace seemed large and strange, and she would have liked to see Miss Shepherd. You might think that Ivy cried, but she was not that kind of little girl. Though the empty feeling ached inside her, she pressed her lips tightly together and then said,
"It's time I looked for my grandmother."
And she started off to look. She walked up the cobbled streets between the houses. How cozy they seemed, with their lightened windows and smoke going up from every chimney.
"There are fires and beds and supper,"
said Ivy. Some of the houses had wreaths of holly on their front doors, paper chains and garlands in their rooms, and in almost every window was a Christmas tree. When Ivy looked in, she could see children. In one house, they were sitting around a table, eating. In another, they were hanging stockings from the chimney shelf. In some, they were doing up parcels.
"But I must look for a house with a tree and no children,"
said Ivy, and she knew there would be a tree.
Because my grandmother is expecting me, said Ivy.
The toy shop was still and dark.
How do you think she knows her grandmother is expecting her?
It's a really good question. Do I really know that? I don't know.
Do you think her grandmother knows she's even alive?
I don't think she has a grandmother.
What? Well, then what do you think she does?
She's doing something that you and I do all the time.
What?
We use our imaginations. And sometimes if you use your imagination really, really hard, you might start to think it's real, but you have to remember that it's just your imagination. And I do not believe that she is remembering that. Let's keep going.
The toy shop was still and dark.
Thank goodness,
said Abracadabra.
But people can't see us,
said Holly.
Why should they see us?
Asked Abracadabra.
It's over. People have all gone home. The children are going to bed.
He sounded pleased.
There will be no more shopping,
said Abracadabra, and a whisper ran round the toys.
No shopping, no shopping. And then we're the ones not sold,
said a doll. And there was a long silence.
I can be sold any time,
said a bride doll at last.
Weddings are always. I'm in yellow and primroses, said a bridesmaid. I shall be sold in the spring. I am pink with roses, said another. They will buy me in the summer.
But Holly had a red dress for Christmas. What could be done with her?
You will be put back into stock,
said Abracadabra.
Please, what is stock?
Whispered Holly.
It is shut up and dark,
said Abracadabra, as if he liked it very much.
No one sees you or disturbs you. You get covered in dust, and I shall be there,
said Abracadabra. Holly wished
she could crack.
Why did she wish she could crack?
She didn't want to be stuck with him in the dark all alone.
What does crack mean?
Break.
This is my grandmother's house,
said Ivy. But when she got to the house, it was not. That happened several times.
Then it's that one,
she said. But it was not that one either. And she began to feel very cold and tired. Somebody came down the street. Even in the snow, his tread was loud. It was a big policeman. As a matter of fact, it was Mr. Jones. Ivy knew that policemen did not like little girls who wander about alone after dark.
He might send me to the home,
said Ivy.
What home?
The home that she came to, St. Agnes's. And quick as a mouse, going into its hole, she whisked into the passage between two shops.
Queer, said Mr. Jones. I thought I saw something green.
At the end of the passage was a shed, and Ivy whisked into it and stood behind the door. There was something odd about that shed. It was warm. Ivy did not know how an empty shed could be warm, but I shall tell you. The shed belonged to a baker and was built against the wall behind his oven. All day he'd been baking bread and rolls for Christmas, and the oven was still hot. When Ivy put her hand on the wall, she had to take it away quickly, for the wall was baking hot. Soon she stopped shivering. In the corner was a pile of four flour sacks, and she sat down on them. A lamp at the passageway outside gave just enough light. Ivy's legs began to feel heavy and warm. Her fingers and toes seemed to uncurl and stretch in the warmth. Behind her eyelids seemed to curl, while her eyelids seemed to curl up. She gave a great yawn. Then she took off her coat and lay down on the sacks and spread her coat over her, and in a moment, she was fast asleep. The toy shop was close by the passage. It was too dark to be noticed, though Abracadabra's eyes shone like green lamps.
Shopping is over. Hoo, hoo, said Abracadabra.
Over,
over, mourned the toys. They did not know that it is when shopping is over that Christmas begins. Soon it was not dark, for the snow had stopped and the moon came up and lightened all the town. In the toy shop window, the toys showed not as bright as day, but as bright as moonlight, which was far more beautiful. Holly's dress looked a pale red, and her hair was pale gold. Dolls can sleep where they stand or sit, and now the dolls in the toy shop slept in their places, all but Holly. She could not go to sleep. She was a Christmas doll, and it was beginning to be Christmas. She could not know why, but she was excited. And then all at once, softly, bells began to ring. Long after most children are in bed on Christmas Eve, the church bells in towns and villages begin to ring. And soon the clocks strike 12, and it is Christmas. And Holly heard the bells, and what was this? People were walking in the street, hurrying. "Hoo-hoo," said Abracadabra at them as they passed, but they took no notice.
"Then it has started," said Holly.
"What has started?"
said Abracadabra.
"It,"
said Holly. She could not explain it better than that, for she did not yet know what it meant. This was, after all, her first Christmas. But the bells grew louder and more people passed, and then it may have been the pin of Holly's price ticket, or the spine of tinsel come loose from the shelf, but Holly felt a tiny pricking, as sharp as a prickle on a holly leaf.
"Wish,"
said the prickle.
"Wish. But the shop is closed,"
said Holly.
"The children are in bed. Abracadabra says I must go to store."
The prickle interrupted.
"Wish. Wish."
It went on till Holly wished. Ivy thought the bells woke her, and perhaps the passing feet. She sat up, but she was half asleep, and she thought the feet were St. Agnes's children marching down to breakfast, and the bells were the breakfast bell. Then she saw she was still in the shed, though it was filled with a strange new light, and a silver light.
"Moonlight?"
asked Ivy, and she rubbed her eyes. She was warm and comfortable, too warm and comfortable to move, so she lay down, but she felt a thistle or a sharp straw. And the light seemed to be calling her, and the bells of the hurrying feet and the prickle seemed to be telling her to get up. Ivy put on her coat and went out. Outside the passage, the footsteps sounded so loud that she guessed it was the policeman. She waited until they passed before she dared to come out. She walked a few steps to the toy shop. She did not know how it came to be there, and she thought she was in her St. Agnes's bedroom, and it was filled with toys. Then,
"Not toys,"
said Ivy.
"A toy."
And she was wide awake. She didn't even notice Abracadabra glaring at her with his green eyes. She looked straight at Holly. She saw Holly's dress and socks and shoes.
"She's red and green, too,"
thought Ivy. She saw Holly's hair and brown eyes and little teeth and beautiful joints. They were just what Ivy liked. "And
my Christmas doll,"
said Ivy. Holly saw Ivy's face pressed against the window, as she had seen so many children's faces that day. "But
this one is different,"
said Holly. Ivy's hands in their woolen gloves held to the ledge. Holly looked at Ivy's hands.
"Soon they will be holding me,"
thought Ivy. Ivy's coat, even in the moonlight, was as beautiful a green as Holly's dress was a beautiful red, so that they seemed to match.
"My Christmas girl,"
said Holly. Ivy had to go to the shed again to get warm, but I cannot tell you how many times she came back to look at Holly.
"My Christmas doll, my Christmas girl, but the window is between,"
said Abracadabra. The window was in between,
and the toy shop door was locked, but even if it had been open, Ivy had no money.
Hoo-hoo,
said Abracadabra, but remember, not only Holly, but Ivy was wishing now.
I wish.
The toys woke up.
A child,
they whispered.
A child.
And they wished, too. And wishes are powerful things. Ivy stepped back from the window and Abracadabra's eyes grew pale as crunch. Something under Ivy's heel. It was something hidden just under the snow.
Hiss! Hoo-hoo!
Said Abracadabra, but Ivy bent down and picked up a key. In the moonlight, it was bright silver.
Peter's key! Peter's key! Whispered the toys.
Footsteps sounded on the street. People were coming from church, because that's where they were going at midnight. They were going to something called Midnight Mass. It's a church service that people have at midnight on Christmas. She had to wait a long time for the people to pass as they stopped to say Merry Christmas to one another and to give each other parcels. Ivy sat down on the sacks to rest. Presently, she gave another great yawn. Presently, she lay down and spread her coat over her. Presently, she went to sleep.
How?
The toys had gone to sleep, too.
But I can't, said Holly. I must wait for my Christmas girl.
She stayed awake for a long time, but she was only a little doll. And presently, she fell asleep where she stood. Ivy dreamed that the shed was hung with holly wreaths and lit with candles, and the berries were the color of Christmas doll's dress, and the candle flames were as bright as her hair. Ah, said Ivy. Holly dreamed that two arms were cradling her, that hands were holding her, that her dress was beginning to be rumpled, and her eyes made to open and shut.
Oh,
said Holly. Abracadabra kept his green eyes wide open, but he could not stop the moon from going down, nor the coming of Christmas Day. Very early on Christmas morning, Mrs. Jones got up and tidied her living room. She lit a fire, swept the hearth, and dusted the furniture. She laid a table for breakfast with pink and white cloth, her very best blue china, a loaf of crusty bread, a pat of new butter in a glass dish, honey in a blue pot, a bowl of sugar, a jug of milk. She had some fresh brown eggs in the kitchen and some sausages to sizzle in a pan.
Wow, then, that's a lot of things.
Oh, we're not done. Then she had set the kettle to warm on the hob, lighted the candles on the Christmas tree, and sat down by the fire to wait. Now the baker's oven cooled in the night, and Ivy woke with the cold. The shed was icy. Ivy's eyelashes were stuck together with rime, and the tip of her nose felt frozen. When she tried to stand up, her legs were so stiff that she almost fell over. When she put on her coat, her fingers were so numb that they could not do the buttons. She was a sensible little girl, and so she knew she had to get warm, and she did not cry, but I must hop and skip, she said through her chattering teeth. And there in the shed, she swung her arms in and out and clapped her hands. And outside, she decided to run. But her legs felt heavy and her head seemed to swim.
I must find my grandmother quickly,
said Ivy. And she went into the street. How cold it was there. The wind blew under her coat. The snow in the pavement had turned to ice and was slippery. And she tried to hop, but the snow was like glass. Ivy's fingers and nose hurt in the cold.
If I look at my doll, I might feel better,
said Ivy. But she turned the wrong way. It was the wrong way for the toy shop, but perhaps it was the right way for Ivy. For 100 yards down the street came the Joneses' house.
I must look for a house with a tree and no children.
That is what she had said. And now she looked at the window and there was no sign of any children, but there was a Christmas tree lit. Ivy saw the fire.
To warm me,
whispered Ivy, and oh, she was cold. She saw the table, and the pink and white cloth, and the blue china, and the bread and butter, and the honey and the milk, and the teapot warming. My breakfast, whispered Ivy, and oh, she was hungry. She saw Mrs. Jones sitting by the fire in her clean apron, waiting. Ivy stood quite still. Then, my grandmother, whispered Ivy.
Holly woke with a start.
Oh, I must have been asleep, said Holly in dismay. Oh, I must have missed my little Christmas girl.
She won't come back.
She won't come back, said Abracadabra.
Mm-hmm. It's Christmas Day. She's playing with her new toys.
I am her new toy, said Abracadabra.
Hoo-hoo-hoo,
said Abracadabra.
I am her new toy, said Holly.
Hoo-hoo,
said Abracadabra.
I am,
said Holly, and she wished. I think her wish was bigger than Abracadabra's, for when Ivy lifted her hand to Mrs. Jones' knocker, a prickle from the bunch of holly ran into her finger.
Ow!
Said Ivy. The prickle was so sharp that she took her hand down, and
first I must get my doll, said Ivy.
If Ivy had stopped to think, she would have known she could not get her doll. How could she, when the door was locked and the window was in between?
What about the key?
Besides, Holly was not Ivy's doll and had not even been sold. A wise person would have known this. But sometimes it is better to feel a prickle than to be wise.
Hello,
said Ivy to Holly through the shop window.
Good morning.
Holly could not say hello back. But she wished Ivy good morning. With a doll's wish. In the daylight, Holly was even more beautiful than she'd been by moonlight, and Ivy was even dearer.
A little girl, sneered Abracadabra. There are hundreds of little girls.
Not for me, said Holly.
A little doll, sneered Abracadabra. There are hundreds of little dolls.
As if Ivy could have heard him through the window, she would have surely said,
not for me.
Ivy gazed at Holly through the window. She gazed so hard she did not hear footsteps coming down the street. Heavy steps and light ones and a queer shuffling sound. The heavy steps were Mr. Jones's. The light ones were Peter's. And the shuffling sound was Peter trying not to cry.
I put it in my pocket,
Peter was saying.
I forgot my pocket was torn. Oh, what shall I do? What shall I do?
Said Peter. Mr. Jones patted his shoulder and asked,
what sort of key was it now?
A key? Ivy turned around. She saw Mr. Jones and jumped. Then she made herself as small as she could against the window.
A big iron key, but it looked like silver, said Peter.
He and Mr. Jones began to look along the pavement. It looked like silver. Ivy could feel the edges of the key in her pocket, but if I go away softly, the policeman won't notice me, thought Ivy.
She should just turn in the key. Maybe something good will happen to her if she turns in the key.
Mr. Blossom trusted me, said Peter.
His wide smile was gone and his face looked quite pale.
I feel like she should take out the key and walk over it and be like, this key?
I don't like boys, thought Ivy.
But Peter was saying,
he trusted me. He'll never trust me again.
And though Peter was a big boy, when he said that, he looked as if he might really burst into tears.
A boy cry?
Asked Ivy. She had never seen Barnabas cry. She didn't know boys could. The toys had all woken up again.
Poor Peter. Poor Peter.
And the whisper ran around. Wish Peter may find the key. Wish.
For that careless boy, said Abracadabra. Why, he might have had us all stolen.
Peter was saying to himself,
a thief might have picked it up, he said.
It It wasn't a thief. It was me, said Ivy. And she put her hand in her pocket and pulled out the key. So you needn't cry, said Ivy to Peter. Can you imagine how Peter's tears disappeared and his smile came back? Cry? Who'd cry? Said Peter scornfully. And Ivy thought it better than to say, you. So Mr. Jones put the key in the lock and it fitted.
I suppose I'd better go in, said Peter, and see if everything's all right.
Well, I'm going home, said Mr. Jones. You know where I live. If anything's wrong, pop in.
And it was as he turned to go home that Mr. Jones saw Ivy.
So, there was something green,
said Mr. Jones. Ivy knew how she must look. Her coat, her hair, her socks, her shoes were dusted with flour from the sacks. She had not been able to comb her hair because she had no comb. Her face had smears across from the toffee apple. And
I think you are lost, said Mr. Jones.
His voice was so kind that the empty feeling ached in Ivy. It felt so empty that her mouth began to tremble. She could not shut her lips, but
I'm not lost, said Ivy. I'm going to my grandmother.
I see,
said Mr. Jones. He looked at Ivy again.
And where does your grandmother live?
Asked Mr. Jones.
Here,
said Ivy.
Show me,
said Mr. Jones, and he held out his hand. Ivy took his hand and led him down to the street to the Joneses' house.
This is my grandmother's, said Ivy.
Mr. Jones seemed rather surprised.
Are you sure?
He asked.
Quite sure, said Ivy. She has my breakfast ready.
Did you say your breakfast? Asked Mr. Jones.
Of course, said Ivy. Look in the window there. There's my Christmas tree.
Mr. Jones thought a moment. Then,
perhaps it is your Christmas tree, he said.
Shall we knock?
Asked Ivy. But
you needn't knock, said Mr. Jones. You can come in.
The toys were all in their places when Peter opened the door.
No thanks to you, said Abracadabra.
Perhaps Peter heard him, for Peter said, thanks to that little girl. I did not know how it was, but Peter had the idea that Ivy was Mr. Jones's little girl.
He was very kind to me, said Peter, and so is she.
Peter was very grateful.
What can I do for them?
He asked, and then,
I know,
said Peter. Mr. Blossom told him he could take any toy.
I'll take her a doll,
said Peter.
I can slip it into their house easy without saying a word, but what doll would she like?
Asked Peter. The toys all held their breath. What doll would she like?
A bride doll,
said Abracadabra with a gleam in his eyes. A bride doll was standing on the counter. And Peter went to pick her up, but he must have had his hand on the pin of her price ticket or a wire in the orange blossom flowers on her dress for, ow, said Peter, and he drew his hand back. Abracadabra looked at Holly. Holly smiled.
All little girls like baby dolls,
said Abracadabra.
Take her a baby doll.
There was one baby doll left. She was in the window. Peter reached to take her out, but the safety pin on the baby doll's bib must have been undone for, ow, cried Peter, and he drew back his hand.
Tss-tsoo,
said Abracadabra to Holly, and Holly smiled. It was the same with the primrose bridesmaids.
Ow,
cried Peter, and the same with the rose.
Ow, okay, here, I'm getting fed up, said Peter. Who's trying this on?
I do not know what made him look at Abracadabra, but Abracadabra's eyes gleamed. But in her place, just above Abracadabra, Peter saw Holly.
Why, of course, The little red Christmas doll, said Peter. The very thing. But as he stepped up to the glass shelf, Abracadabra was there. Peter said that Abracadabra must have toppled, for a toy owl cannot fly, but it seemed for that moment that Abracadabra was right in his face. The green eyes were close and spread wings and the hooked beak and the claws. Peter let out a cry and hit Abracadabra, who fell on the floor. Out of my way, cried Peter, and he gave Abracadabra a kick. Then Abracadabra did fly. He went sailing across the shop and landed head down in the rubbish bin.
Oh, ah,
cried all the toys in terror. But Peter sprang after him and shut the lid down tight.
Abracadabra is, well, I'm going to say he's the bad guy of this story.
I'm going to agree. Then he picked up Holly from the shelf in the window and ran pell-mell to the Joneses. The front door was open a crack. Peter could hear excited voices in the kitchen. Quietly, he slipped into the living room and stood Holly under the tree. When Mr. Jones and Ivy came in, Mrs. Jones was in the kitchen with a fork in her hand, turning the sausages. Mr. Jones asked Ivy to wait in the hall.
Merry Christmas, said Mr. Jones to Mrs. Jones and kissed her.
Merry Christmas, said Mrs. Jones, but she sounded a little sad. Mr. Jones had a present in his pocket for Mrs. Jones, a little gold brooch. He took it out, unwrapped it, and pinned it to her dress. A brooch is a little, it's like a little pin, right? Mm. Oh, how pretty, Albert, said Mrs. Jones, but she sounded rather sad.
I have another Christmas present for you, said Mr. Jones, and laughed. It has two legs, said Mr. Jones.
Two legs? Asked Mrs. Jones, and Mr. Jones laughed again.
It can walk and talk, said Mr. Jones, and laughed still more, and then he brought Ivy in.
When Mrs. Jones saw Ivy, she did not laugh.
For a moment she stood still, and then she dropped the fork and knelt on the floor and put her hands on Ivy's shoulders.
Oh, Albert, said Mrs. Jones. Albert.
She looked at Ivy for a long time, and tears came into her eyes and rolled down her cheeks. Ivy, with her glove, wiped the tears away, and the emptiness went out of Ivy and never came back.
Deary me, said Mrs. Jones, getting to her feet. What am I thinking of? You must have a hot bath at once.
Breakfast first, said Mr. Jones, and Ivy asked,
couldn't I see my Christmas tree?
Mrs. Jones's living room was as bright and clean as it had looked through the window. The fire was warm on Ivy's legs. The table was close to her now, and in the window was the tree with a star on top, whispered Ivy.
But why? Oh, why?
Mrs. Jones was saying to Mr. Jones outside the door, why didn't I buy that little doll?
And the shops are shut, whispered Mr. Jones. But we shall have to explain.
Ivy did not hear them.
Red candles, she was whispering. Glass balls.
She stopped.
Wait, Jones has tears. Do you think they were tears of joy or tears of sadness?
Tears of joy. Overwhelming joy. People cry when they're happy, too. But you have to be exceedingly happy. A significant amount of happiness to make yourself cry. Now, she stopped. Mrs. Jones came in and gave a cry.
Well, I'll be danged,
said Mr. Jones, for at the foot of the tree by the parcel of handkerchiefs was Holly. Though Mrs. Jones was a little young to be a grandmother, she and Mr. Jones adopted Ivy, which means they took her as their own, and of course, Holly as well. Miss Shepherd came to visit them and arrange this.
Ooh, there's a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell Barnabas, said Ivy.
Mrs. Jones made Ivy a green dress like Holly's red one, but with petticoats and red socks.
and she made Holly a red coat like Ivy's, knitted one, and knitted her a pair of tiny green woolen gloves so that they matched when they went out. They passed the toy shop often, but there was no Abracadabra.
"Where's that owl?"
Mr. Blossom had asked when the shop opened again, and Peter had to say, "I put him in the rubbish bin."
"Good gracious me, get him out at once."
But when they lifted the lid, Abracadabra was not there.
"Sir, the dustman must have taken him away," said Peter.
"Now, I don't know if that's true, but Abracadabra was never seen again. Sometimes Holly and Ivy meet Crumple, who waves his trunk at them, and once they saw Mallow and Wallow put on a windowsill. And often they see Peter and Mr. Blossom, and in spite of Abracadabra's disappearance, Mr. Blossom trusts Peter.
But if you had not found the key," said Peter to Ivy.
"If I had not come to look at Holly," said Ivy.
"And if I had not gone to Mr. Jones's," said Peter.
"And if Mrs. Jones had not bought the Christmas tree,
if Ivy had not slept in the shed, if the baker had not lit his oven, if Ivy had not gone out of the train, if Barnabas had not laughed at Ivy, if Holly..."
"If I had not wished," said Holly.
I told you this was a story about wishing. And that,
my friends.
Our friends. Our friends.
The end.
And a very Merry Christmas to us all. Mm-hmm.